Please be seated. So we're in this these few weeks. We're thinking now about our mission as Timothy, and thinking about it around these two words of neighborhood and nations. Last week we talked about what our foundation then in this is in the Word of God, right? That it's that relationship that we have is that relationship with God that is founded in His Word. Today we want to think of another relationship, is our relationship of a family. And family can be, maybe we just can say it's complicated, right? Complicated. Maybe you had a really great family growing up, your house of origin, and it was really loving and really supportive parents and really together family. But now that you're out and you're kind of your own family, it becomes a little oppressive, maybe? I don't know. It can become a little much, okay? Or maybe you grew up in a family that was really horrible, really bad, and it was maybe an abusive kind of home, and you're just glad that you're gone. You're glad that you never have to see those people ever again, and it has turned you off so much to it that you say, I never want a family. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. I don't want to have anyone. I just want to do this alone. Or you desperately want one. You desperately want to have this relationship, and you long for it. Maybe you do, you are married, and you just say, I just don't want kids. I just don't think that's what God calls me to. Or you're single and you come to church, and it looks like everyone else has got this wonderful, loving family. But what about me? It's like everyone has what I want, and I find myself maybe in a very deep and profound loneliness. Not solitude. Solitude is good. We all like to be in solitude from time to time, but a loneliness that no matter who is around you, you are just feel so cut off. You want to be connected, but you're not. And then we hear these words of Jesus where he says, hate your family. Hate your family. And we say, what? What are you talking about, Jesus? What do you mean, hate your family? God, didn't you give me this family? Didn't you put me into this family? Isn't family supposed to be this blessing for us? But now you say, hate your family. Maybe I don't get along with the family, but to hate them, maybe that's a bridge too far. We like a lot of things Jesus says, right? Jesus says a lot of things that we really like to hear, love your neighbor. We like to hear him talk about the forgiveness that he gives to us. We like to hear him talk about the welcome and the peace that we have from God. Even some of the more challenging things, like not just love your neighbor, but to love your enemy. Maybe we don't always like it, but we kind of get it. And we still like it. It's a little harder, but when he says stuff like this, hate your family, it just makes us uncomfortable. Here's the thing. Jesus wants you to be uncomfortable. Right? Jesus wants to unsettle you. He wants to kind of shock us. We need to be shocked. Jesus is here. He wants us to make a decision. A decision. To be his disciple or not. Will we follow or not? Jesus is not a politician. You know, what a politician does is they say all the kind of things that you want to hear so that you would do what? You would vote for them. You would say, oh, that's my guy. And so they'll say all kind of things of what they can do for you and how life will be great for you and life will be easy if you just, you know, vote for me. But Jesus he's not a politician. He is not some, you know, celebrity that is trying to get likes and views, okay? Jesus is more like a rescuer on the top of a mountain. And he can see the storm coming. The snowstorm is coming, and he can see it. He says, the only way you're going to be safe, the only way that you'll have life is if you follow me. Put everything else aside and follow me. You see, we don't just accidentally become disciples of Jesus. We don't just kind of one day we show up and all of a sudden now I'm following Jesus. We have to, you know, intend for it. We have to make effort for it. We have to, as he says, to hate your family. Hate your family. Jesus used really shocking language, and we never want to take away from the shocking value of the words he says, what he means, because he does want to. He wants to shake us to the core of our being. But the words he uses, love and hate, love and hate. Love and hate can mean so many different things. So we can say love, but, you know, love. I can use the word love to say, you know, I do love ice cream, all right? I love, you know, anything sweet. I can't have that now, okay? But I love it too much, right? You love it, all right? But I can say that, and we all kind of know what I mean when I say I love ice cream. But I also say I love my wife, okay? Now, if I mean the same thing by saying I love ice cream and I love my wife, I got two different problems. I've got some problems, right? If I mean the same thing. What I mean, right, is I prefer this kind of food. That's what I prefer. But I have made this vow and commitment and this lifelong devotion to this other one, forsaking all others, to this one. I give my love, my allegiance to her. You know, see, if I never have ice cream again, big deal. Big deal. But I have set my life, right, to this one. The same thing with hate, right? Hate, right? I hate tomatoes, like a raw tomato, I hate it. All right, it's horrible. But I don't mean the same thing as I were to say, I hate that person, okay? I hate that person. Love and hate. Love and hate is a way that you sort out your allegiances and your devotions to people and to causes, to things in this world. And so when I say I give my love and I give my allegiance, I give my devotion to this one, to this person, to this cause, you can say it's to everything else, it's like I hate it. Everything else is like I hate it. In comparison to my allegiance to Jesus, that my family, my tribe, my people, even myself, it's completely secondary. It's like I hate it. Only in giving my allegiance to Jesus do I find life. And these are these idols, okay? All this other stuff can become idols in our life. That is, things that we seek all good from and all protection from and security and identity and purpose in our lives. And so one of those big idols throughout of human history has been family. Family to be raised up to a level of an idol, where I could find belonging and identity and security. And so what Jesus is asking is scandalous, scandalous. Because he knows that exalting our family up to this ultimate place of allegiance and meaning and identity, if we raise it up to that level, it will only break our heart. It will only break our heart. We put being a parent into this place. A lot like that, where we get this sense of our own identity and our own value in life is about being a parent to these kids. My own self-worth as an identity as a parent. How many of you are children of parents like that? Right? And what happens? You grow up and you do not enter into the career they wanted. And you do not marry the person they wanted. You live a life different than what they wanted, and you will invariably, no matter what, we all will fail them and disappoint them, and that will just break our heart. It will break our heart if we have brought that up to this level of being this idolatry, because that's just what we do. We're humans, and so we will all fail one another. If our identity is wrapped up in all of that, it will break us. Marriage is that way too. Marriage, we have this idea, oh, if I just can marry this right person, if I can find my soulmate, it's this one person, it's then that I won't be lonely anymore. And that now I'll be whole. now I'll be accepted for who I am, and that I will have every longing of my heart will be met in that person. And those of us who are married will say, yeah, right. That just doesn't happen, okay? Good luck with that. Or if I'm single and I feel like, man, I'm just a loser, right? Especially when I come to church and that's what we talk about family. You have to think, well, that's just, we're saying it's got to be, you know, mom, dad, you know, 2.5 kids, right? That's, you know, that's family. That's the only idea of what family can mean. And if I don't have it, I don't fit in, and I must be somehow defective. And you just, no one knows the profound loneliness that I have, the despair that I have. And so if I could just find that one, maybe that pain would all go away. And when marriage is idolized like that, if I could just find this one, you're asking your spouse to do something that they just can't possibly do, just impossible for them to do. It's like, you know, going down to the Circle K, right, and getting some coffee there and expecting it to be, you know, some, you know, fine coffee, right? No, it's going to be horrible coffee is what you're going to get, okay? But that's just, that's family, okay? And that's marriage. That's what it is. And we bring Jesus into that. And we say, oh, you know, Jesus, I prayed for you to fix him, and my husband, and he's just, you haven't done it. Jesus, I prayed for you to make my children behave better, right? And I prayed to you that they would just be the kind of people that I want them to be. And that's what I've been praying for, Jesus, and you haven't done it. And so you failed me. I voted for you, Jesus, and you just haven't come through. We make marriage and we make children and we make them our idols. And Jesus, he wants to warn us about this. And so he deals with that idol of family. And then he goes to our other big idol in life, which is ourself. That we will exalt liberty and personal freedom to this high, high place. And we do it at the expense of others. You can't tell me what to do. Right? My own personal sense of what my own self-actualization will be. Can you think of a culture that's like that? You know, it's just right out the doors. And so what we end up with is we end up with a group of people that they move around a lot. They're not really tied to one another. And so we move around a lot and we're not rooted, very detached from each other. We look out for what is filling up our own self, or my own hole in my heart. And so I will float from a job to a job, and I go from relationship to relationship. I go from church to church looking for something to fill this space in my life. Whatever it might fill that spiritual desire during that season of my life. I'm not really committing to anything or to anyone. Never finding fulfillment, even though I'm always looking for it, I never find it. You see, no job is ever going to fulfill your soul. No career can do that. No one can. The best that you can do maybe is you get, you know, 80% there, all right? But there's always that little bit that it doesn't do for you. And so if you think it's going to do it all, then you're disappointed and you leave it and it breaks your heart. Jesus knows this too. He knows this. He knows that if you give our allegiance to anything other than him, anything, it will be a dead end. And so in relation to that, we must hate everything else. He's speaking to our hearts. Our hearts. Do we intend to take a different path than everyone else around us? Are we willing to be different, even if it is hard, even if it requires sacrifice? An allegiance to the Son of God who has loved me and has given himself for me. See, that's something that no one can take from you. No one can take that from you. It doesn't matter if your job falls apart. It doesn't matter if your family falls apart, your relationships fall apart. It doesn't matter even if your own self falls apart. I get how hard it is. Because we can put so much of ourselves into to our own plans and our own goals in life. We put so much of ourselves into our relationships that we have, that God has given to us in this world. And when they don't work out the way I want them to, I know what I do. I get defensive, and I want to start attacking everyone around me. But see, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if everything falls apart. It doesn't matter, because the Son of God has loved you, has given himself for you. And now you can take that, you can take it not to the bank, but you can take it to the grave. And you can take that out the other side. No spouse is going to the grave with you. Okay? They're not. They're just not going to. No job, for sure, is not going to go to the grave with you. But Jesus can. And he will. And he has, as you follow him. Now, if you hear this and you wonder and you ponder, you say, I'm just done for now. I can't do that. I cannot give my complete allegiance to him. I can't. I am such of a divided mind. Because in this world, you know, I am, as St. Paul says, it's kind of divided. And my allegiances do get kind of split. And I just don't know how to do it. So who can be saved? Well, you are right. You are done for. And who can be saved? It is impossible for you. It's impossible. But for God, nothing is impossible. If we sit down and do the math, count the costs, we will all come to this conclusion that no, I cannot do this. I cannot do what he is asking me to do. And that's where Jesus wants you. He wants you right there, because it's right there that the Son of God has loved you and has given himself for you. It's in your inability to follow him. It's in your inability to make any decision for him that he right there makes you then his family. His family. And so no matter what kind of family you did grow up in, and no matter what kind of family you have right now, you have a new family. And it's not this cliche thing. It is. It's not a cliche thing to say that the church is a family. It's maybe the most true thing, that this is our family. It's here that we get this identity, and it's here that we have a place of belonging, a place of safety and security. You know, Jesus, you know, his mother and brothers, they came out that one day and were asking, you know, come and talk to me. And Jesus says, no, these are my mother, these are my brothers, this is my family. It's those who do the will of God. It's those who follow me. That's my family. You see, sometimes we think we can do it. We think, I can do this. I got enough energy. I got enough devotion. And you really get at it. And maybe you can do it because you're 20 and you can do it. And you got the energy. But that only lasts so long. It only lasts so long. And we all just kind of burn out. We all burn out. Or the other is we get led into being kind of a hypocrite. And we get this religious moral rigidity. And we look down on other people. And we say, look, I counted the cost. You should count the cost. You need to give up all these things. And we get excited about our own abilities and our own contribution. But Jesus says, if we count the cost, we will all realize that we do not have what it takes. We don't have what it takes to do it for the rest of our life. And if I'm really honest, I most of the time I don't even want to. I don't even want to. Jesus says, just be honest. Be honest. And take that to the cross. Take it to the cross. And Jesus says, now we can go somewhere. Now we can go somewhere, because that's a disciple. That's a disciple. Are we listening? Are we listening? Jesus comes to those who don't have what it takes, who realize we don't have what it takes, and he comes to us in our brokenness, our humility, and he loves you, and he gives himself for you. And so we begin there. And now it is no longer about pleasing anyone else. It's not about that. It's not about pleasing my family. It's not about pleasing a spouse. It's not about trying to have my best life today. It's simply just responding to Jesus. His love. And so then when I do fall and I fall down and I just get up, I'm forgiven and we go again. We ground our identity not in my family, not in my people, not in myself, but we ground it in Him. That we do not have what it takes, but He has put us into His family. And that goes back out into our lives. And so we can now think of our home, where we live, the people who we live with, the people on our street. And I think about my relationships and my job. And those relationships now are if they were there just to fulfill my needs, to fix what went wrong in my childhood, to give me some kind of lasting legacy, well, then those things are just about who? They're about me, right? About you. But in the family of Jesus, now my job and my home, my neighborhood, I start realizing that I'm not the best. I'm not the best at anything. And we just humble ourselves. I'm not the best. And that frees us. It's such freedom when you don't have to prove yourself to anyone. Man, it's just a weight off your shoulders. I don't have to prove myself to anyone because my sense of worth and identity is not in what other people think. It's in not what I can do for them or what they do for me, but it is in Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so if I don't feel some desire in my life, fine. I don't have to prove anything. You don't have to prove anything. And we don't have to be then on the defense, and we don't have to be on the attack. This is just one more relationship that we have. It's one more relationship that we get to respond with the love of Jesus, and we get to be His disciple, serving others. We serve them just for the sake that it's someone that also Jesus loves. It's not what I get out of it. And so let's just imagine, what if one person, just one of us today, one of us, we as the salt of Jesus, we go back into our homes. We go back into our neighborhood. Go back to your job. And you're an influence. Let's just imagine, what if one workplace had, 10 believers that would come and meet one another, just being humble with one another. They count the cost. They own up to their own ability. And they ground themselves in the love of Jesus. What would that workplace be like? Just imagine the change. What if one family had that? That workplace, that home, it would be more flavorful. It would be more beautiful. It would be more like Jesus. In His name, amen. And that may a peace of God which passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.